open up our Bibles to Proverbs once again as we continue to search for wisdom. All right. Probably going to have to move them slides for me because it ain't working up here. Today, if it's working there, that's good enough. We talked about pride, and we talked about wisdom itself, and searching through the Proverbs is something that I suggest you try to do every day, if you could find a time to set aside just for that, because you'll find nothing but wisdom in the Proverbs. You'll be able to pray about and think about things in such a way that would lead you to some truth in your life and help you to make decisions based on the Lord's guidance and the situations at hand. Proverbs chapter 24 and chapter 26 this morning I'm picking out one topic from these two chapters that we can focus on. And I'm hoping and praying that this particular message or this particular topic would be only a warning for you. That's what I'm praying for. Only you and the Lord knows. But I'm praying that this is just a warning for all of us to continue to be diligent about protecting ourselves against what the Bible describes as laziness or being a sluggard. Now, some of y'all are sitting back saying, "Well, I don't have that problem." or you might be saying, "Oh, I know a whole bunch of people that deal with that problem." Be careful that we don't have to go back to last week's message about the pridefulness, right? That's where y'all say amen and praise the Lord. Thank you. We'll make sure you're here. A lot of times when people read about laziness or being a sluggard in the scripture, it seems like it's natural for us to think about living in this world and how we function every day and physically live this life. I personally believe that every bit of God's truth is applicable to our spiritual health. Right? Some of it, if not most of it, maybe all of it, can be applied to the way we live in this world physically, materialistically, I guess you could say. I want to invite you to, when I'm talking about laziness today, I think it would be helpful for us to consider these truths in a way that they would apply to our spiritual lives. Because I feel like if we get our spiritual lives healthy, maybe it will always enhance everything else in our life. How we live and the way we do things and how we pursue this life in this world. Everybody's on a different path. We all come to the same places. Our roads have crossed from time to time. We worship together, at least here in this building, and a few people online worship with us. And that's what God does. He brings all of our lives together. So we help one another. We seek the truth together. So I want to talk about a few things that have to do with laziness. First off, the nature of laziness. That would be our first point. Let me see if that works. Oh, it's right there. Yeah. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30 to 31. If you're at chapter 24, let's go to verse 30 and 31. I'm just going to read a couple things, and then we're going to get going because we're quickly going to go using those two verses and go to Proverbs chapter 26. Verse 30 says this, I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. Thorns came up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. So imagine that we're all on the same church bus riding around the community, and we drive by the sluggard's house, and this is what we see. And everybody looks out the window, and we all say, whoa, somebody's kind of slacked off on that property. Somebody needs to cut the grass over there, right? The building is falling. It needs a new roof. It's obvious that everything is falling apart at that estate, whatever it is. And you know, let's not be so quick to judge, because just because we see something that looks like what we just read, there's many reasons why that could be. It doesn't always mean there's a lazy person that lives there. However, here's where this is going to set you free if you're paying attention. Right? The only one that you need to know if it means laziness or not is you. Hello? If you're evaluating your own spiritual estate, and if it looks like this, then you need to come and see me, because I'll pray with you. And we'll work on it together, and we'll help you. Because that spiritual laziness leads to a spiritual life where everything is broken down, everything is overgrown, there's no relationship with the Lord, and your witness is ineffective at best, because you haven't tended to the needs of your spiritual life. Right? So be careful that we're not looking around when we should be looking at self. So here's some things in Proverbs chapter 26 we can look at to help us understand a little bit more about this sluggard, or this laziness that seems to be a cancer that infects the soul, if we allow it. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 13 says, "The sluggard says, there is a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets." Well, I don't know about y'all, but I don't see many lions in our neighborhoods. Maybe if we go to a zoo nearby, wherever the zoos are, you might see a lion. But there's not a danger there, usually, if you stay where you're supposed to be and the lion stays where he's mandated to be. But if you live in a world where there are lions, then you might get away with saying, "There's lions out there, I ain't going out there." day before yesterday, a bear walked through our front yard. So I guess a person could say, "I'm not going outside, there's a bear." I would go out there because I like looking at the bears. I'm like, "Ooh, there's a bear out there, let me go check this out." That's probably not the wisest thing to do. My first reaction. It's not really about the lion for the lazy one, for the sluggard. Because any excuse really will get them out of doing what they need to do. Anything. It doesn't even have to make sense at some point for the sluggard, for the lazy one. Anything that will, it doesn't make sense to the one who's not the sluggard, but to the sluggard, to the lazy one, it doesn't have to make sense. Because they just don't want to do it. They don't want to go. They don't want to participate. Maybe we should say we sometimes. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to go to prayer meeting. Got plenty of reasons. How many? I'm going to take about like 5 seconds, and I want you to see how many excuses you could come up with. Don't say them out loud, because you get yourself in trouble. How many excuses could you come up with for not going to church on Sunday? Some of y'all are sitting back, "Well, I would never do that." Everybody comes up with excuses. I think sometimes, listen to me, and I think I'm speaking for most preachers. There are days when even we don't want to go to work. Not that we don't love preaching, not that we don't want to share the word with y'all and participate in the worship, but we are human beings, and sometimes we're just not feeling it. We got things going on. We're tired. We're stressed. Whatever the case is. And in our minds, we're like, wonder if the youth minister could handle things today. I would like to believe that 99% of the time, the preacher wins that battle in his mind before Sunday morning happens. right? The same is true for y'all. Whatever the Lord is leading you to do, however you're called to participate in the body of Christ, whether it's worship on Sunday, whether it's Bible study on Wednesday, whether it's a gathering or a mission work or a service project in the community, whatever the case is, Satan is going to try to convince you to stay in the bed. Thank you. Now, before I go too far with that, before I ever get to Satan whispering in my ear, I have to conquer self. Because I'm my own worst enemy, just like you guys are. So we don't want to give too much credit to Satan, our enemy. Verse 14 says this of chapter 26. As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns in his bed. Y'all look. Y'all are like, oh yeah, that's the best feeling in the world. The best feeling in the world when you ain't got nowhere to be and you've been sleeping good and the only reason you turn over is because the sun came through your window. And you're just like, oh, I'm going to turn over here like this right here. And you're losing feeling in this arm, so you got to give it some relief. And don't that feel good? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that, y'all. Because God intends for us to rest, doesn't He? He designed us to sleep and stop and rest. That's how our bodies were created. However, the sluggard or the lazy one, according to Proverbs, is talking about one who is in the habit of doing that. It's all about habits, isn't it, in the Christian life? You build good spiritual habits, you'll be healthy spiritually. If you slack off and don't tend to your spiritual life, you're going to develop a habit of spiritually rolling over in your spiritual bed. Because the Spirit of God is faithful. And if you're saved by the blood of Christ, you have the Spirit of God living in you. And I'm promising you, because the Word promises, that He will lead you and He will guide you. And He will teach you all of the things of God's ways. The problem is, when the Spirit of God convicts you, it's like, you probably better get up and get into your prayer time and read your Bible before you get going for the day. Oh, I'm just going to roll over this way. I'll be up in a minute. Hit the snooze button. God, I think the snooze button came straight from the devil. That's what I think. I really do, because in my sleep, when I'm half asleep and I hit the snooze button, I intend to hit it so it will come back on in about 5 or whatever minutes I set for it. But when I'm half asleep, I don't hit the snooze button because the off button's right on top of it. And I hit the off button. Next thing I know, I'm laying in the bed and my lovely wife is in there typing away at her job, paying the bills, and I'm in there just slobbering all over the pillow. I should have been up an hour ago. I don't think that makes me a lazy person if it only happens on occasion, right? But if that happens every day in my life and I start to get behind on the things the Lord has called me to do and the things that I'm supposed to do for my wife and my family and even myself and my neighbors, I might want to look at this scripture. The problem with a lazy person is they'll get to it tomorrow. What if Jesus said, I'll get to it tomorrow? What if Jesus said, I know that needs to be done, but I'm going to walk across the lake again. Take another trip across the lake. I don't care. Right? Think about it, y'all. It is hard to, if you're not a person who struggles with laziness on a habitual basis, it's hard to understand that. It's hard to understand why would anybody live such a lifestyle. How could they let their house come down to nothing and their estate look the way it does and it's overgrown? How do they not wash the dishes? How do they not clean their clothes every day? How do they live like that? It's all about desire in the heart. I don't mean it's because they don't want to do those things. I mean it's because they want their want to stay in the bed is greater than their want to get up and go. Right? So just like a door turns on its hinges. If you notice, every door that has a hinge or a few hinges, and that hinge is only going to do one thing. Going to hold a door and swing it. That's all the hinge ever does. And for a person who's fallen in the trap of laziness, that's all they will ever do is swing back and forth in the bed. Putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. Let's look at verse 15. It says the sluggard, the picture that comes into my mind, I can't even imagine dealing with this kind of struggle. It says the sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He is too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. Oh my gosh. Okay, here's why I struggle with this, y'all, because when I have a dish in front of me, 9.9% of the time it's something I like. The other 0.1% of the time it's because somebody who I love shared it with me and I don't want to offend them. So I eat it anyway. Right? I can't imagine. Think about this, y'all. You think about your favorite meal, favorite time of the day, and it's time for your favorite meal, and you're looking forward to it, and you go over there and you sit down and you say your blessing, and then you put your napkin in your little collar here, and you're getting ready to eat, and you don't even want to take the first bite because you don't want to lose the anticipation. It's like, oh, the first bite's always the best. And you take a bite of it, and you just sit there in the moment with all the flavor and all of the goodness, and then you swallow that food, and you keep eating, and then the next thing you know, it's all gone, and you're disappointed because it's all gone. That's what God created. That's why he gave us taste buds. If God didn't give us taste buds, we would just eat whatever portion we need to live. And that would be, at the end, it wouldn't be such a great thing to eat, to consume food. But the sluggard, lazy man, it's like, I think he just drops his hand in the plate. He's like, oh, I'm starving. Oh, I wish I could have something to eat. But he just don't have the energy or the desire to even put the food in his own mouth. He just will not put the food in his own mouth. He wants everybody else to do it for him, but he won't do it. Next thing you know, he starts to get sick over time because he's not eating. He gets malnourished. He starts having problems because his body's not getting what God designed for it to get, which is nutrition. And he just still sits there and he's like, yeah, I know, I'm dying. I know, it's probably going to kill me. I'm not interested in putting that food in my mouth. Too much work. I'd rather be sick. Then he just rolls over in the bed again. Remember, as we're talking about this and reading this, we're thinking about our spiritual health. And what I just described to you, I know I was being a bit on the silly side in that description, but I wanted you to get a good picture of how we consume food for our bodies and how we are allowed to enjoy that to some degree. But then when we look at the spiritual thing, the lazy person opens their Bible, but they just won't read it. They'll amen the preacher to death when he says the word of God is true. It's absolutely true. It's beneficial for your life and you need it. And they'll say amen, amen. And it's, and if I go to their, if the preacher comes to their house to help them open their Bible, you ever get one of, when we were in school and you get one of them brand new textbooks and you open it and it goes like it's making all kinds of, that's what their Bible sounds like. Because they've never opened the Bible. And everything in their mind, and even in their heart, and the Spirit of God in their life tells them, you need this. This is your life. I know it is. It's too much work. Too much effort. I'm not interested in effort. I'm not interested in doing anything. It just feels too good to roll over. One time I had some kind. I think it might have been the flu. I think it was a measles. My kid had a measles. I think I slept for two full days and a half a day because I had a fever and all that stuff. And I remember it was like late in the afternoon. I was put into bed, and I woke up, and it was like you could tell it was early morning because it was still kind of dark, but the light was coming through the window, and there was sweat all over the bed because I've been sick. I thought it was the next day. 2.5 days went by, which I was sick then, but I was like, I just missed 2 days of my life. I think I was like 10 or so, I was 11. I was like, I've been asleep that long. What I'm trying to point out is the lazy person, the sluggard person, they'll lose track of time. They're so lazy. They don't even care that they're losing track of time. They don't care that they're missing their whole life. The world is turning around and they're just rolling over in the bed, waiting for somebody else to do whatever it is they need to do. And if we got spiritually lazy Christians, they will be the same way. Here's the problem with this kind of message. Y'all know what I'm about to say. The people that could use this information aren't here right now. They probably woke up this morning and was like, "Oh, I don't want to get up. I don't feel like. Maybe I'll just watch the live stream." Then they turn the live stream on, if they even get that far. They turn the live stream on and they're like, "Eh, never mind. It's too much. It's too much work. I'd have to stay awake." Yeah. Can you imagine? The Lord Himself, God Himself, has given us everything that we need for a relationship with Him. He's given us His Word. He's given us His Spirit. He's given us each other, brothers and sisters in Christ, to pour into each other's lives. And we are so spiritually lazy that we can't get out of bed to participate. And then we wonder why the nation that once followed God seems to be falling away. And I'm not trying to shoot out arrows of condemnation toward anyone or any group of people. I'm saying that we each have a responsibility to get with God and make sure that we are protecting ourselves and asking God for His strength and His courage to not become lazy Christians. Because lazy Christians cannot and do not make disciples because they're not in the field doing the work. They're not at the feet of Jesus being lifted up and being made holy through the Word of God and through prayer and fellowship with other believers. There's no motivation to even feed themselves. How are they ever going to feed anyone else? I'm pretty sure that if enough Sundays went by and the preacher showed up and was like, "I don't have anything to say. I didn't feel like writing down anything. Pretty sure y'all stopped paying me. And y'all be looking for somebody else that wants to serve the Lord and is interested in doing the work that God has called him to do." Right? He buries his hand in the dish. He's got his hand on the food. He's got the sandwich right there at his fingertips. Just cannot, will not, has no interest in putting it in his mouth. That's the nature of a lazy person or a sluggard. Proverbs chapter 24, go back to 24, in verse 32. The writer says, "I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson," in verse 32 of chapter 24. "I learned a lesson from what I saw." So back in the church bus, we're driving by the estate that's overgrown and coming down at the H corner, and the roof is caving in, and there's critters making their home in there, and wilderness is just swallowing it up because the sluggard refuses to care. And we look out the window and we can say to ourselves, there's a person that needs prayer, or we can say to ourselves, oh, look at this person. What a sluggard. Or, after we pray for those people, we can go home and say, Lord, help me to not allow this with what you've given me. Help me to be the person that I need to be so that these things are not true in my heart. Because too many people's lives depend on your witness. Right? We can't go in this world and say, well, Jesus died for everybody and he did all the work, which is true. But you and I as believers are called to make disciples. We're called to go into the world and tell everybody that Jesus is the Christ and tell them all the truth and tell them that they can be set free. They don't have to live in sin. We don't want to be found in the presence of God and he say, I don't even know who you are. You've never come to me. You've never talked to me. You've never checked in with me. You've never asked me how to be about my business and do what I do. You've never shown any interest whatsoever in eating the food, the spiritual food that I've given to you. So be gone. Get away from me. I don't know you. That's the danger of laziness on a spiritual level, isn't it? And it's not even a question of whether the spiritually lazy person loves God or not. We all love God, but we still sin. The problem with sin is, in the moment that you and I give in to the temptation and actually commit sin, even though we're saved and love the Lord and have His Spirit in us, it doesn't mean we don't love God in general. It just means in that moment we chose something else over God. And when we roll over spiritually in our spiritual beds and say, tomorrow I'll go tell that person about Jesus, or tomorrow I'll say that prayer, or tomorrow I'll read that verse, or tomorrow I will pray to God, tomorrow I'll get up and ask God, what are we doing today? If we say those things, we're choosing self over God in that moment. It's like, you know, sometimes airplanes can, if they have two engines on them, they can lose one and still be able to make some kind of an emergency landing, maybe, right? But if the wings fall off, you're just falling. It's just bad. And that's what laziness does. And I'm not saying that this is something that can't be overcome. Certainly it is. I don't want to give us a doom and gloom message and then let's go home and praise the Lord and eat chicken or something, right? What I want to do is tell you that this is something that is serious and something that Satan will use to make a big deal in your life if you're not paying attention. And it's not something that honors God, so we should flee from this. Especially if this is not a part of our lives and we sit back and get comfortable and say, well, that's not me. This message is for all those other people. I have found in my personal experience over the years that every time I say that'll never happen to me, it either comes close to happening or it does happen. So be careful, y'all. I'm gonna give you some truth. Let's find 2 Thessalonians as quick as we can. A lot of people don't like this. I don't like this text I'm about to read. I do like it, but I don't like it. You know what I mean? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're just going to read one verse out of there. Verse 10 of chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians says this: For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. I like to eat, y'all. I need to eat. We all need to eat. You know, when we see homeless and we see needs around the world, hunger, and there's great ministries that are sending resources around the world to feed the hungry, I don't believe that those people are hungry because they necessarily won't work. I think circumstances and situations create needs in people's lives. I think what this particular verse of Scripture is referring to is people who are creating habits of laziness, and they become hungry because they can't even feed themselves or won't feed themselves. They won't get a job. They won't do anything to produce some kind of resource so they can have nourishment. Okay, if you don't put any effort into it, then you won't have it. If you don't pick up this Bible and read it, you won't have what the Lord has already provided for you. It's work reading the Bible. It's work praying to God. You don't believe me? Look when Jesus was praying. He prayed so much he was sweating blood. It's work loving people, going into the world and making disciples. That's why Jesus says, I'll go with you. I'll be there the whole time. You're not going to be by yourself. Go and do the work. It's the harvest field. It is supposed to be work. Plan on being tired. Plan on being used up. Plan on having moments of spiritual fatigue that Jesus and his angels have to come and tend to you, because you're working for the kingdom of God. And the more you work, the more he will feed you, and the more you will grow spiritually, and the more you will be of value to the kingdom of God. Here's something. Here's a news flash, y'all. The kingdom of God will have its way whether you participate or not. I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound harsh, but God doesn't really need you. He wants you, but he doesn't need you for his way to happen. He doesn't need for you to get out of the bed and go make disciples, because somebody else will tell that person about Jesus. Question is, do you want to be a part of what God's doing? Do you want to stand in the ranks and say, yes, Lord, send me, Lord. What can we do today, Lord? When Abraham was told by God to go take his son, the promised son, on the mountain and run a dagger through his heart as a sacrifice to God, God told him to do that, and he loved his God so much, it says he got up early the next morning to go do what God called him to do, even though it was to kill his own son. The first time I noticed that, I sat back and thought about that for a good hour. I'm like, how does somebody get up early to go do that? I mean, if there's ever a time to procrastinate, hello? And Abraham just said, okay, Lord, let's do it. But man, how many opportunities do we miss to bless others because of our spiritual laziness sometimes? How many opportunities do we miss to grow in Christ and to be blessed because we're just not paying attention? We got our fingers in the bowl, but we don't really want to eat it. It's too much energy. We want to eat it, but we don't really want to put it in our mouth. Takes too much effort, too much time. It takes away from our rest. All right. Moving on. By the way, that verse 10 of 2 Thessalonians, some people say, well, God, how could God say that people aren't going to eat? How could he just not feed people? Because they don't work. Because they believe that if God loves everybody, why would he do that to somebody? It's because God doesn't force himself on anybody. It's not that he didn't serve the food. It's not that he didn't make it available. He said, it's available. Here's how you come and get it. The rule at my house is once you've been there once, your family, when the next time you come over, stuff's in the fridge. That's the way it is usually. Most of the time I'm way ahead of you and I've already got it on the table because I'm not waiting on you either. But you come to my house once, the next time you come, if you want anything in that house, you go get it. That's what it's there for. But if you don't go get it, you won't have it. Right? Hello? Verse 20, chapter 20. Let's go to chapter 20. Here's what the life of laziness brings. The life of laziness brings poverty. Poverty. Spiritual poverty, sometimes actual physical poverty. Verse 4 of chapter 20 of Proverbs says, a sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time he looks but finds nothing. And they're baffled at it. They're like, how come there ain't nothing in the field? They know they didn't do the work. They didn't even think about doing the work, but then they're like, should be something out there growing by now. Nobody must have done anything. I'll just roll over again. Right, verse 33 and 34 of chapter 24 agrees with this. That's where we started. Chapter 24, verse 33 says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. You may have all the finances you need to buy groceries for your house, but if you don't get in your car and go to the grocery store and do a little bit of shopping, you will not have any food in your refrigerator. Now, somebody online and somebody sitting in here is like, well, I can just order that on Amazon and send it right to my house now. The sluggard won't even do that. That's too much work for the sluggard. That's too much work for the lazy. It's like, I got to push buttons. I got to enter up my credit card. Now I got to... I'll just lick a piece of ice. I don't know. It seems ridiculous, doesn't it? For somebody to be in that condition. It's more ridiculous for somebody to be in that spiritual condition. God's got all of this under control. There's no need for me to even ask him. He knows everything. He knows what's happening. He'll take care of it. I'm just going to roll over. Right? In Matthew chapter 25, I'm not going to go and read anything there. You can look for yourself. You all know that there's the parable there of the 10 virgins that were waiting on the bridegroom, right? They were waiting and waiting and waiting, and they had to have their lamps, and they had to have oil in their lamps. They had to be ready. They had to be ready. And when the time came for the bridegroom to show up, the announcement was made, and some of those weren't ready because they didn't bring enough oil for their lamps. And when the announcement was made that the bridegroom was coming, they started to panic, and they looked at the ones who were prepared and were not lazy and said, share your oil with us or we will not be ready when he gets here. And they were like, no, because then none of us will be ready. You should have been ready. Go into town and get your own oil. Because if you don't work, you don't eat. So they went into town and got their oil, and when they came back, the bridegroom had come, and they had already left and shut the door, and they were pounding on the door, let us in, let us in, we're back now. It's too late. I'm going to give you this and I'm going to be done, I think. Going into the world and making disciples is presenting the gospel to the world in many different ways. Sometimes preaching, sometimes sharing scripture. As we discussed in our Bible study earlier this morning, sometimes it's through all of the ways that we do ministry and bless others, fulfill needs, love people, pray with people, whatever the Lord would have us do to make disciples for the sole purpose so that they would realize that Jesus is the Christ and that God is real and he loves them and doesn't want them to be separated from him for eternity because of their sin, because they've offended a holy God. That's the whole purpose, is to get people's attention and say, you don't have to die for eternity. Jesus died on the cross to give us the resources that we need to be prepared when Jesus comes back. Prepared for what? Prepared for eternity. Here's two things we know for sure. Nobody in this world is going to live forever. And Jesus will come back. And we don't know when each one of us will leave this world. And we don't know when Jesus is going to come back. So we suggest that you get your spiritual oil in your spiritual lamps and not be lazy and be ready. Most of the ones in this room, I know, and I know that you have made preparations. You've given yourself to the Lord. You've put your faith in Jesus as the Christ. You've repented, confessed Christ. You've been baptized into Christ. You've accepted the Holy Spirit, and you're doing something with your spiritual life for the sake of the gospel. Some people might be online. Some people might even be in this room that have not done all of those things. And if the horns start blowing and Jesus starts to come back and you don't have those things in order, you will be left without resources. And you will hear God say, "I don't know you." Not because he doesn't love you. He will say, "I don't know you," because you refused to eat what was given. You refused to consume the resources that God provided because he does love you. You had your hand in the bowl, and you just wouldn't bring it to your mouth. I've watched people, ever since I've been in ministry, I've watched people hem-haw around about their salvation, thinking that they have tomorrow, thinking that they go, "Ah, I think I'm not ready. Like, I'll do that tomorrow. I don't know about it. I have to decide if it's true or not." For some reason, they think that they have to approve of God's word in order to surrender to it. "I'm not sure if that's the truth." I want you to be sure about it. But it doesn't really take that long to come to a conclusion if you think about that. You're wrestling with it because you don't want it to be true. Because it means you've sinned. You're wrestling with it because you don't want it to be true, because it means you have to humble yourself and repent and admit that you've sinned before a holy God. You're turning over and turning over and turning over in your bed, and one day it's going to be too late. This is the danger of laziness and slothfulness and sluggardness, spiritually especially. But I think that people who are spiritually sluggards or spiritually lazy, ultimately it will begin to show in their life all around. Everywhere. I get to it when I want to. You don't need to tell me what to do. I joke around about that some. Just a joke. I tell my wife all the time, like, "You don't tell me what to do. You ain't my boss." But we are 100% joking with each other when we do that. But the spiritually lazy person, or even a lazy person in general, they don't want nobody telling them what to do because they don't want to do it to start with. That they're so lazy, they don't want you to tell them what to do because that means they have to come up with some excuse to tell you. It's too much energy to come up with an excuse to tell you. So stop nagging me. It's pitiful, y'all. How many people left this world without Jesus because of this? How many of us suffered more than we needed to in this world during the times we were suffering, more than we needed to, because of this disease called laziness? I love you, and the Lord loves you. And I'm asking you to today get with the Lord, you and God, and just, "Lord, if this is something I need to fix, please help me." And if it turns out that it's not, if the Lord pats you on the back and say, "That's not you, everything is good," then you will have the best night of your life. Because you'll be praising God and you'll be feeling good and you'll give him the glory and the credit and you'll be telling everybody in the world about Jesus. Right? when we live through a pandemic, I'm gonna stay up here this time because we got technical stuff. When we live with a pandemic like we have been, when we live with social things going on like we have been, political things like we have been, it's nothing new. It's always been happening since Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden. But it's hard, and it brings stress and anxiety and pain, confusion. And Satan can use those things to get us distracted from what we know we believe about our God and our salvation. And that will lead you to become habitually lazy. Because you start to lose hope, you start to doubt, and then you form a, it's not wrong to doubt, but it's, you form a habit of doubting. You begin to doubt almost all the time. And once doubt sets in and is allowed to become a permanent resident in your heart and your mind, then your want to gets broke. I don't want to read my Bible. Why should I do that? Then we become masters at excuses. Masters at procrastination. I heard a preacher one time say that he found a website about, it was like a lazy person's club. If you want to be a lazy person, there's a whole club you can join. He said he went to the website and it was up there, and he said he clicked on the about page and it wasn't, it said there's nothing, it says this page has not been built yet. Clicked on another page and this page hasn't been built yet. All I had was, all they could do was get the page up, get the website up. It just said, welcome to the lazy club. I'm not saying that if you need rest and you take a day and do nothing that you're being lazy. I'm not saying that. We're talking about habits. We're talking about your life as a whole. We're talking about the way you walk with God on a regular basis. We're talking about the fact that Jesus has died and been resurrected and promised that the Holy Spirit would be within us and leading us and guiding us. There should be a hunger for the Lord that is out of control in your life. There should be such a desire for this word, for his presence. There should be a desire to be a blessing to others, to get involved in church work, get involved in sing. We should be in here singing songs whether we like them or not. Not everybody likes all the songs that a church sings. It's not their style. It's not their thing. Now, I'll tell you what I told the youth group back when I was doing youth ministry. I told those kids, if you want these old people, because that's what they said, if you want these old people to put up with your music, then you need to go in there on Sunday morning and sing their songs too. And then I went and told the old people the same thing. So if you want these young people to sing hymns with you and sit here and act like what you do is okay and not outdated, then you need to support what they're doing. And you need to encourage them in the Lord. Right? Sometimes we miss opportunities to bless each other because we might just be too lazy. I thank the Lord that Jesus wasn't too lazy. Right? If we had a lazy, this doesn't even make sense. If we had a lazy Savior, we wouldn't have no Savior. How could we have a Savior if he was lazy? Can you imagine? I'll heal that guy tomorrow. He'll be all right. He's lived this long that way. I'll just heal him tomorrow. Right? Surely we can survive on two fish, right? You see how ridiculous laziness can be? It sounds ridiculous when you talk about it, but when we're living in it, we almost don't even recognize it. I know each one of you in this room love God. You wouldn't be here if you didn't. I know that some of the people that aren't here today that sometimes are here, I think they love the Lord. I think they love the Lord with all their heart and all their mind. Some of the people that aren't here, not all of them, some people just can't get here, and they would do anything in the world to change, and they would be here. But just life isn't allowing that. But I know that there are people all around the world, including in our church and every other church, that just because of our shutdown situation, they just got out of the habit and have become lazy. Let's not go looking for them and start poking them in the chest. Let's just say, Lord, help them. Get their attention. We want them. We need them. We love them. You need them. We love them. Help them get back where they belong. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing a song together. What's the number? 685. Is that right? 685. First and last. We're going to do traditional, old school, first and last. I want to pray with y'all about this because this is a serious situation. It's always serious, but this is just, it just seems like it's too many people wasting time when there's people dying and going to hell. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we just thank you for your faithfulness and your patience with us. We thank you for never giving up on us. We thank you for your promises, the resources that you've given us to be who you sent Jesus to die for. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus and his sacrifice, the salvation, the forgiveness, the grace, the mercy, the strength, the power. We get to be a part of your kingdom, Lord. Help us to never fall into this trap of laziness. Help us to never fall back and say, I'll do it tomorrow. When it comes to making disciples and working for your kingdom. Help us to help others who are falling into this trap. Help us to call them out of that sin so that they too can be restored and live free and be disciple makers. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for it all. It's in Jesus' name. Let's stand together and sing.